Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever been on a nature walk before? A nature walk is when you go on a walk outside and focus on observing the plants, animals, bugs, and life around you. Lots of people like to go on nature walks in the forest, on the beach, or in the mountains. Places where you might expect to see a lot of wildlife. However, you can also look at nature in your own backyard and neighborhoods, even if you don't live in the middle of the woods. Our guest today is a big fan of nature and an eager nature walk participant, or sometimes in his case, nature crawls.
Have you ever crawled through your yard or your neighborhood park on your hands and knees? You might get some funny looks from the neighbors, but you're bound to see things differently, moving in a different way through it at a different level.
This is Tor Hansen. He's a conservation biologist, which means that he's focused on appreciating and saving nature. He studied plants and animals all over the world, but especially in his own neighborhood. Tor believes that some of his best backyard observations have come when he strapped on a pair of knee pads and gloves and started crawling around.
There are so many things down there. And what happens when you get down low, you know, on your hands and knees, is you've sort of made this area that you're exploring much larger because you're moving so slowly. So there's the pace that's different, the perspective is different, and you see these small things at ground level that you've been stepping over. You know, mushrooms the size of toothpicks, you see the spider webs, you see the little beetles that are moving underneath the shrubs nearby. You bump head first into a caterpillar of a moth that's dangling from a fern that you would have just walked right by. You couldn't possibly have seen it from both the pace and the perspective of walking upright. And something that really struck me as well about the crawling experiences was how it changed, you know, sensory perceptive as well. Everything seemed to slow down. And I was hearing things that I wasn't used to hearing. I was smelling things that I wasn't used to smelling. I came head into, right at nose level, a place where a red fox had marked its territory. And I want to tell you that I have rarely felt more like a mammal. That was a powerful smell. And I don't know what the fox was saying, but I understood the basic text that there was communication going on there. When you smell it at fox level, that's a different experience entirely. So getting down there changed not only what I saw, but what I could hear, what I could smell, and even feel, you know, through those knee pads and gloves.
Wow. Tor's enthusiasm makes me want to try crawling through my backyard. Tor's excitement about nature isn't just limited to what he can experience while crawling. Since he was a young boy, Tor has loved noticing special details in the natural world.
On the short list of important developments for me, though, as a young budding biologist, actually had to do with bald eagles and with glaucous-winged gulls, which are the most common gull in the San Juan Islands.
The San Juan Islands are a group of islands off of Washington State, right by where I live. To me, they are the most beautiful place in the world. And Tor is a pretty big fan as well. He spent his summers growing up visiting his grandparents on the San Juan Islands. And that's where he observed an interesting interaction between bald eagles and these glaucous-winged gulls.
It was a time during the 70s when the eagle populations were at a real low after they had been decimated across North America. So to see an eagle, even in the San Juans, was a big deal. They were there, but they weren't around every day. And at some point as a kid, I realized that the gulls were telling me when the eagle was nearby. Because the gulls and the eagles are enemies. They don't get along. The eagles like to raid the nests of gulls and even attack adult gulls and so forth. So when an eagle was in the neighborhood, the gulls had a special cry that they would make, a call of alarm and distress. And I realized I had then, by listening to the gulls, the ability to tell people, hey, there's an eagle coming. And sure enough, here would come this bald eagle.
That's so cool. Tor's special skill of being able to predict bald eagle arrivals was super fun, but it also taught him a lot about interacting with nature.
It was a fun party trick as a kid, and no one could figure out why I always knew when the eagles were coming. And I didn't tell anyone, it was my little secret. But it also opened this window for me into nature as more than scenery. I realized that animals and birds and all of the interacting pieces of that puzzle were communicating and interacting. And if you paid attention, you could be a part of that conversation. And that, I think, was really important to me.
Becoming a part of the nature conversation involves more than just knowing that birds like bald eagles and glaucous-winged gulls exist. It's noticing how these animals interact. And that type of noticing only happens when you watch the world around you. A lot.
When we go, say, bird watching, I think people tend to forget the second part of that. People tend to do more bird identification or nature identification rather than nature watching. And I think if we can remember to keep the watching in these activities, that is really crucial, because then we start to see the behaviors, we start to get these surprises, not just what is out there, but what's it doing. And so that's when you start to notice what's going on, not just that they're bumblebees, but what are they up to? And you're going to see how they enter the flowers and which bees are on which flowers and all of these different things going on there. One of the things that's happening right outside my window with a native honeysuckle, a beautiful orange honeysuckle that we have here. I watch the bumblebees on it right now, and they are what we call nectar robbers. Now, the honeysuckle has a long tube, and it's too long for the bumblebees to actually get. They have pretty long tongues, but they can't get the nectar down at the bottom of that tube. So they come up to the side of it, and they chew a hole, and they get the nectar right out. And once they've made the hole, then all of these other bees and other creatures start visiting those holes too, and they can access this nectar that otherwise would be off limits to them. So, I mean, when you remember to do the watching, it just opens up this world of activity.
If Tor hadn't spent time watching the honeysuckle outside of his window, then he wouldn't have known about the nectar robber bee species and their ability to chew holes in the honeysuckle. Watching his backyard is a big source of inspiration for Tor. He's even built himself an observation fort.
I formed almost like a teepee-shaped structure of sticks with enough room to sit in the middle, and you could look out through the gaps in the branches and so on and observe what was going on. And it became a wonderful, sort of like a backyard wildlife blind, but, you know, not to watch giraffes and rhinoceroses, but to watch whatever might pass through the yard. And I came to realize that was an important part of the stick pile. It wasn't that I could look in all directions and see everything. I was covered with sticks. I had limited sight lines. And that made me focus on other senses, because I could hear, for example, we have a very small pond in the yard, and I would hear things in, you know, birds bathing in the pond. And I might never see the bird, but I could hear the whole progress of that bathing behavior as it got wet, as it shook itself dry, flutter up to a branch somewhere, and then continue to dry itself there. Even if I never saw the bird, never put a name on it, I could sense and experience the behavior through what I was hearing. So it was another great way to change your outlook on something familiar and make new observations.
You might think that only conservation scientists like Tor should spend their time hiding in bushes, watching bugs and birds. Tor believes otherwise. He says that scientists need the help of everyday people to observe and collect data on the different creatures all over the world.
You don't have to be that expert. There are a lot of scientists in the world, but there aren't enough to gather all the data that we need to do our work. And there are a lot more people out there. There's a lot more data that needs to be gathered. So reaching out has become habitual now for many scientists. And there are all these great projects where you can participate and use simple skills to inform these greater, bigger projects. One of my favorite examples is the BioScan project in Los Angeles, which began when the curator of insects at the Los Angeles Museum of Natural History was bragging at a donor luncheon at the museum, oh, you know, I could find a new species of insect anywhere. And one of the trustees at the museum took him up on the challenge. He said, if you can find a new species in my backyard, I will throw a grand fundraiser dinner party in celebration. And to add pressure, she went ahead and scheduled the party. So this guy was on the spot and he set up a trap, and he was a little nervous because he didn't get it set up until a couple weeks before this party. But the first sample he brought back to his lab and started pulling out the insects, and he's the one that has that expertise, right, for a particular family of flies. The very first one he looked at, he didn't recognize. And he went to all of his books and he didn't recognize it. And it was a species new to science. And so that told him that these backyards and neighborhood parks and places in the urban environment were worthy of exploration.
These scientists started working with people all over Los Angeles to put together insect traps and find new species. This is called a bioscan.
They've already discovered more than 50 species, new to science, of flies and so forth. And they still have thousands of things left to examine.
Not only did the scientists discover and document lots of new insects, but they did it with the help of ordinary people who were willing to set up traps in their neighborhood.
Something he told me about that project that really stuck with me was how popular those traps became in these neighborhoods, and how neighbors would lobby. They wanted the trap in their yard. They wanted to see what was in their yard. And he said, and this is true, he said that on more than one occasion, someone cried when it was time to take the trap down and move it to another yard. They had become so hooked on seeing what was there. It was this wonderful partnership. They were providing space and curiosity and volunteer effort, and he and his colleagues were providing that expertise.
When both citizen and professional scientists work together to observe the world around them, they can discover all sorts of new things. Tor continues to see new creatures and phenomena in nature all the time. In fact, here's a story he told about a recent nature walk he led back on his favorite San Juan Islands.
I told the people on that walk at the beginning, I said, one thing I can guarantee is we are going to see things on this walk that I have never seen before. And that is truly exciting. I was pointing things out and sharing them with people. And I noticed this other butterfly pop in to that group of flowers. And I thought, you know, that butterfly was different. And it was a species that I have never seen in San Juan County in my life. A beautiful butterfly called the cedar hair streak, whose larvae feed on cedar trees or juniper trees. And as far as I know, it's the first one ever seen on that particular island.
Tor Hansen teaches us that there are lots of ways to observe the natural world. Whether you're crawling around, sitting in a backyard fort, or setting insect traps, you can discover new things every day when you take the time to look around.
When you take time to use your eyes, it won't be long until you realize you can learn something new. Each day when you listen and you look in a curious way.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Tor Hansen and his experiences with the natural world right in his backyard. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called How to See Like a Naturalist Without Leaving Home. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.